Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. How is Lent going for you? Are you really taking a look at one particular area in your life? Maybe it sounds like I'm harping on this. Why am I saying this again and again? Because I want you to know the love of God in your life more than you do right now. And it's always on God's timetable. I can't have any authority over that at all. But I can say if you repent of your sin, if you honestly turn away from it, even though that's a process, we've got a habit, a pattern of sin, it takes a while to break it, but you make the decision to get on that pathway, that you want it broken, so that the love of God can penetrate your heart, your mind, your spirit, even your body, much more, and bring you a joy and a peace that honestly, at moments, surpasses understanding. He loves us so much. That's what I don't want you to face your sin because I want you to feel bad about yourself. That's not it. I want you to get rid of it. And the only way to really get rid of it is to acknowledge its sin and repent for it, honestly. So please, as you listen to this, the readings for today, just keep asking yourself, where's the area? What's the biggest obstacle in my life? Ask God to show you what it is. Sometimes we think it's one thing, or ask a trusted friend. What's the biggest obstacle? Because we're not always the best ones to know that, even though it involves ourselves. But take a look, brothers and sisters. Be rid of one area of sin for this Lent. Will bring more and more light and more peace into your life. And then that begins to carry the momentum. The light from God, the love of God, the power of God gets stronger and stronger, and it helps to root out all the other things, all the other areas of darkness. So take a look. Please, please, don't just go through this Lent kind of coasting, should we say. I want you to run, and I want you to run so as to win, as Paul says. That's what God wants for you. And when you get rid of the sin, there's a lightness, there's a freedom from burden that comes, and you're able to hear him more clearly. You're able to make the decisions to follow him or to give up other areas of sin. He'll help you. Prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 9, and then verse 12. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side. Then when he had walked off to the east with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was now knee deep. Again he measured off 1,000 and had me wade. The water was up to my waist. Once more he measured off 1,000, but there was now a river through which I could not wade, for the water had risen so high it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. He asked me, "Have you seen this, son of man?" And then he brought me to the bank of the river where he had me sit. Along the bank of the river, I saw very many trees on both sides. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh." wherever the river flows. Every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For whatever and wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. This, the water, speaks of what it brings, health and wholeness. Brothers and sisters, the living water given you at baptism flows through you. Is it polluted, or are you removing the pollution so that the water may be fresh and healthy, good for drinking? That, in other words, that your life is healthy and good and can give Christ to others and receive Christ more fully from others. It changes your whole life. I don't mean it's all sweetness and light, some hard times in it, but it's worth every minute of it. Because as we root out sin, as we yield to the grace of God, we can't do it on our own power. This is not self-help. This is turning to the Lord and asking the Lord for help to change. And he gives us the living water that brings peace and wholeness and health. Psalm 46 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. He's our refuge, our strength, and ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. He is our refuge and strength. We trust him. Their faith has grown." What about yours and mine? "There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn." What has God given us in the New Testament? He's given us his own body and blood, our food, our drink. How often do you receive? How often do you go to Mass? I've asked you this before, but I repeat it. These are your helps, brothers and sisters. God is giving himself to you in his body and his blood. Draw near, drink deeply. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. "There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled." Can you imagine? "One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, said to him, 'Do you want to be well?'" You know, as strange as that question sounds, how true it is when we've had a long, long time illness. And we perhaps have been bedbound. After a while, you think, "Oh, well, this is just the way it is, the way it's going to be." And you settle your life into it. And then somebody walks up to you and says, "Do you want to be well?" Well, of course you'd say yes. And yet, it means perhaps an incredible change in your life, in what you're doing. And some people actually would say, "No, no, I'm okay. I'm okay just like I am. Let me be." And so Jesus says to this man, "Do you want to be well?" He's been ill for 38 years. It's a way of life. And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, someone else gets down there before me." So what's at work in him? Hopelessness. It's not anger. He's not against God. He's just, for 38 years I've been here, and every time I try to get down there, somebody else beats me to it. Can you imagine the discouragement? And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." And immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Look at the compassion. Can you imagine? I can see that man running down the road, you know, leaping in the air and clicking his heels together. I can see it. He's overjoyed. It's impossible. 38 years, if you're thinking a particular way for 38 years, it isn't easy to change it. But Jesus says to him, do you want me to be well? And he said, well, in other words, yeah, I'd like to, but it never works. And so Jesus heals him. What about you and me? What about the debilitating things, the difficult things in our life that we've just grown to somehow accept? And sometimes God wants us to, but many times God wants to heal us. But we're afraid to put our hope anywhere, so we remain quiet. Brothers and sisters, go to the Lord when you're injured. Go to the Lord when things are difficult. Expect his healing in some way, physical, emotional, psychological, whatever. He will do it. But it's hard for us to trust, especially when we've had a lengthy illness. Now, that day was a Sabbath. Sabbath day. Jews are upset. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your mat. They were to do no work on the Sabbath. And so the Jews were there. They would have seen this, probably. Perhaps they didn't see it, but the word would have spread very quickly. But they're paying close attention to the letter of the law. And if you violate that, you're out. And one of the laws is that you would not carry, you would not work on the Sabbath. And this man answered them, the man who made me well told me, take up your mat and walk. And they asked him, who is the man who told you, take it up and walk? And the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. Jesus wanted to be as free as possible to reach out to people who wanted him for help, who were looking at him. He wanted to be available to them. And so he's trying to slip out because of the crowd. And after this, Jesus found him in the temple area and said to him, look, you are well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you. So when God heals us, we need to take that quite seriously. Give up the sin in our lives. We can do it not alone. We don't do it for God, we do it with God, calling on him for every help we need. The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. He didn't know, of course, what he was stirring up, and therefore the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. This is a day to glorify God. This is a day to praise God, to thank him, to bless him, that he healed one among us. Instead, they're saying, on the Sabbath, you may not do this, not do this, not do this, not do this. They're blinded. They say they're followers of God. They say they are servants, in a sense, of God. But humanly speaking, they just can't. How can I put it? They can't get beyond the letter of the law. That's what they're focused on, the letter of the law. Brothers and sisters, take your eyes from yourself and fix them on Jesus and let him teach you. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.